Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
And we're back for our actual investigation. As a reminder, I probably mentioned this in the intro. As a reminder, this is using the system Bubblegum Shoe. It is not a Powered by the Apocalypse system. It's a gumshoe system. It seems like a really fun, interesting system. We're probably not playing it, right? Hmm. Oops. Sorry. Especially if somehow Ken Height hears this. My bad. We had an hour. thank you really for like signing my Dracula Unredacted book a couple years ago. It was great. So here's how this whole thing works. We're going to run through just a couple things. Y'all are literally teenage detectives, Scooby-Doos, your Gravity Falls kids. Y'all are hunting down a mystery. Mm-hmm. We're going to set that up here in a minute. Clues are not, like the important big clues, are not dependent on a die roll. So, here are the three things you have to do to gather a clue. You have to get yourself into a scene where the relevant information can be gathered. Mm-hmm. You have to have the right ability to discover the clue. Now, on that note, that ability can be like something on your sheet, that can be something on like one of your fellow character sheets. That could be something where you call in one of those relationships you set up. Once you have yourself in the right scene and once you have the right ability, then you tell me you're using that ability and I give you the clue. So that's how this works. Like, it's going to be a bit more than like, it's going to be a bit more dramatic because it's us and we're not going to be like, I walk into the gym and look for footprints. Oh, look, there is a track of footprints going to a supply closet. You found a bat with some blood on it. Ding. We're not doing that. That's boring.
I don't like bats with blood on them when I'm saying cells. That's not good.
Thank you. That's a bad thing. Thank you. This is stuff you can like ask for specific, such like, I searched the gym for footprints. Like, that was a very specific. You can also be very general. So you can be like, I just searched the gym and see what happens. You can dig through and just like talk things out. Like, I am going to encourage you guys to kind of like talk things out in character, out of character. Y'all need to solve these riddles, but everything's going to be based on the abilities of your characters. So I'm not assuming that Alan has the same level of computer knowledge that CeCe does. So CeCe would probably be able to figure some stuff out that Alan can't, which is why we have stats and things like that. So, we're going to dive in, and again, I'm sorry right away if Bubble Gumshoe is your most favorite system in the world, and what we do to it here in the next hour or so is painful to you, because we're probably going to do it wrong, but we're going to do it fun, and that's probably the best part. So let's dive in. It is a bright Saturday morning. It is the early part of July. Port Avalon is just in full summer swing. The 4th of July parade, picnic, and fireworks spectacular went off without a hitch. Things were great. Now, listen, yeah, a couple weeks, back at the beginning of June, there was a lot of weirdness, some mess at the high school graduation, but that's all past. People are kind of over it. People are back to summer. Vacationers have arrived. They're buying all the trinkets. They're taking all the pictures. They're annoying all of you locals. But y'all find yourselves on a quiet Saturday morning, wandering kind of some back roads near Tobias Sharp Middle School. And y'all are getting close to a place that Stephanie St. Stephen's knows all about, specifically the Old Miller Theater. Now, the Old Miller Theater is a beautiful building in its heyday. Art Deco stylings, the works. It has like the big marquee board on it. It has like the ticket booth in like the bubble shape. It's got every detail. Back, you've seen pictures of this, Stephanie. Back when it was first built, it was like the details on the outside were gilded. This thing was beautiful. And as soon as you saw a picture of it for the first time, the first time your mom showed you a picture of this theater, you were like, I'm going to star in a show in that theater. And every day that you have to walk or drive by this theater and see it just abandoned and run down, it like crushes that dream just a little bit and probably kicks that annoyance drive and like triggers that like know the full story into high gear. So we're going to be pretty collaborative on some of this stuff. I have an idea of, I know what's going on kind of in the background, but I want y'all to start telling me some stuff about what's going on with the Old Miller Theater. So we're going to start with Stephanie. What does Stephanie know about the Old Miller Theater?
It still smells like popcorn.
Oh, of course.
There is, unfortunately, a lot of moth damage to the beautiful embroidered curtains, but Stephanie's grandmother is an embroiderer. Stephanie believes very sincerely that her and her family can get that fixed. She will be... The curtains will rise upon her grand debut here at this theater. She knows it. It is certain she will see it in her life. The theater has a trap door. It has a... The stage itself is a trap door. The stage has a sort of turnaround. A disc in the middle that can turn and present you different stage fronts.
Oh, yeah.
There is a catwalk that is rickety and...
Yeah.
They are careful not to use it in its time because it was always loud. They would oil it up so often, but it was always creaky. What's wrong with the catwalk?
Very good. Now, we're going to go a little bit out of character here for a minute because I need y'all to help me here.
Mm-hmm.
There were disappearances at the theater. And So each of my players, Alan, Alice, Joe, and Melissa, y'all are each going to tell me about one person that disappeared here. And you're going to tell me what is kind of known about the disappearance, just in general terms. No, you're just going to tell me someone who disappeared here. So, Alan, we're going to start with you. Who was one of the disappearances at the Old Miller Theater?
So before that, I have a question. Uh-huh. Is the Old Miller Theater shut down, like abandoned?
Oh, yeah. Abandoned, boarded up. Unkempt.
This person was the last person to disappear.
Ooh, okay.
Their name was Micah Reed. They went into the theater on a dare. Kind of a, hey, you know, it's rumored to be haunted and all this stuff. And I bet you won't go in there. And they went in there alone. And their friends waited outside until the sun rose. And they never came out. And when the friends went in to look for Micah, Micah was nowhere to be found.
Okay. I dig that. Very interesting. Very interesting. Alice, tell me someone else who disappeared from this theater. Okay.
So we have the last person who disappeared, and I will give you the first person who disappeared.
Ooh.
So I think this was actually someone Nettle used to hang out with a lot. Their name was Rebel with two B's, which was a name they adopted. It's not their real name, but they never told her their real name. And
okay.
Nettle sometimes hangs out with like the problem people, and Rebel is was in the late area of high school, and a thing that their friend group did was break into the theater, and like I imagine the theater has like a couple of those balconies that like are very expensive tickets, and hang out there and do whatever teens do, in like abandoned theaters. And Rebel did it with a friend group. As usual, Nettle was there. I imagine this was a couple years ago, maybe. Nettle was very young, and her all of the teachers are very glad secretly that Rebel's gone. And they were just all hanging out there, and Rebel went to like take a piss somewhere and never came back.
Okay.
And nobody really minded because it was like a problem kid. Like, they didn't really look into it that much.
Okay. All right. Joe, tell me another disappearance.
Elric Frost was a well-known producer, or at least in the theatre sense. He'd put out a lot of shows in the Old Witch Theatre, and he was researching direction for The Woman in Black when he heard about this abandoned, somewhat had some kind of mysticism around it. So he basically went to go and scope it out and basically steal a bunch of assets from the theatre itself. He being eccentric, as I'm sure all theatre people grow up to be, like, he didn't really ask around, he didn't really leave any kind of trace within the city itself, but he rocked up and basically disappeared, looking around at the kind of setup of the theater itself.
I'm going to call him the second kind of big, the second disappearance is what I'm going to call him. And I'm going to say that there had probably been some others that weren't really known, people like Rebel, who just kind of vanished and no one really looked into. But when Elrich vanished, that brought attention to the place. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
Melissa, tell me someone else who disappeared.
It has not only been human victims that have disappeared from this theater.
If you dare say a dog.
After a production of The Wizard of Oz decades ago, the makeup woman, she brought in her little terrier named Bootsy to play the part of Toto.
Rip Bootsy.
Oh no.
And after the show, everybody tells her, Bootsy must have just run off. Somebody must have gone out to take a smoke break and left the stage door open. We can't find Bootsy. And she always insisted, no, Bootsy would never do that to me. Bootsy would never run away.
That's very, very good. Back in character, the four of you are walking around and you're coming up on the Old Miller Theater. And Stephanie, you see before you a wonderful opportunity, because you have here the rich girl with connections, Cece, who can hack anything, as far as you know, and Nettle, who knows a lot of people. You've got a chance to figure it out. And maybe if you solve the mystery of the disappearances, you can get the theater reopened.
Ladies, there's a lot of power in a story. To have a person disappear is a tremendous loss of a story. But to gain back a building where people have disappeared, but we stopped it, nobody's going to disappear anymore. What a story for that building. A haunted theater, a gently, pastly haunted theater, now currently safe, dazzling, shining, full of art. Imagine how successful it would be.
I mean, I don't think anyone will make a story about Rebel. I once saw them down 3 beers and then just trip over them.
But that also kind of presumes that we're the ones that are supposed to make it not have ghosts?
Of course. Like, the ghosts aren't going to leave
on
their own.
I'll beat up a ghost. No, I'll beat up a ghost. Watch me.
But I mean, ghosts aren't even real.
All I'm saying is, if Little Miss Shakespeare wants to go up and do a little performance to pull out ghosts, I'm not going to stop.
If it's not ghosts, it's something else. And whatever it is, I want it out of this theater. You take away the risk, you've only got the beautiful, wonderful ghost story left behind, and everyone loves a ghost story.
But what if the if it's not ghost and it's other things, turns out to be like, oh, I don't know, dangerous criminals or dangerous people just waiting for young kids to come in investigating things and then be snapped up?
I don't think there's any situation I could not talk my way out of, that you couldn't talk your way out of, that Nettle couldn't punch out of, that Layla couldn't influence out of. I think we're the dream team.
Cece smiles really genuinely.
Nettle kind of rolls her eyes, but is a slight smile.
You're really good at this, Stephanie.
I was born to trod the boards and the sidewalk here outside the theater. Sidewalk first, boards are next.
At least the important ones of us are better runners.
So, you want me to bump the lock or what? I can do it.
Show me.
Okay. Nettle kind of digs around in, like, a lot of pockets she has. I imagine she's wearing, like, this, basically, like, this coat that is just covered in pockets on the inside. Like, if Hagrid's coat was a young teen's coat.
I love it.
And
the height
she
of summer,
digs
yeah.
out. She digs out just, like, a couple of different items, some of which are quite illegal before putting them back in and grabbing out just, like, a lock-picking kit. And walks up to the front door and just starts, like, kneeling in front of it and examining it. And, yeah, I'll open the door up.
Yeah, you're going to be able to open that door right up. Do y'all step inside.
Cece's going to take off her backpack. And she's been carrying around a book with her. And the book is Triss's book by Tamora Pierce. And she puts the book in her backpack, and from her backpack, she pulls out a flashlight because she has preparedness.
Okay.
So she pulls out, and it's like a mag light. It's a heavy, big flashlight. Well, if we're going to go in there, we're not going to walk in the dark.
Very good.
Okay. Off to you.
I didn't mean that I was going to go first.
Well, if someone else goes first, that they're blocking the light.
Oh, you're right. And so Cece clicks on the light and looks through the door.
Now, Cece, what sort of skills do you have over on that investigate side?
I have a 1 in notice, a 2 in research, a 3 in scholarship, and a 1 in town lore.
Okay. We're going to use that town lore. You notice something in this room. Something that's not quite striking you right, and you don't really remember it exactly. You might have to confer with some people on this one. Stephanie might be something to confer with, but there's posters up for different shows, and some of them are like really old. Like, you see the Wizard of Oz poster, you see they did a production of Oklahoma a long time ago, The Death of a Salesman. There are the obligatory Shakespeare plays that they did. There's an old, several decades old poster for a production of Macbeth that was supposed to be timed for the arrival of a collection of Arthurian relics in the old Gray Museum of Natural History that doesn't exist anymore. a thing happened. And eventually, you'll be able to know all about that, listener, if you support our eventual Patreon. That's not an unintended plug. That's actually something we're planning on doing. and the story I just mentioned is going to be a reward. So I felt I needed to expand on that. Anyway, back in. All those seem right, and they kind of fit with what you kind of have gathered and what you know about the history of this place a little bit. But what's weird is, there are some newer posters, and they're posters for shows that are, like, kind of even contemporary.
Hey, Stephanie.
There's a poster for a musical called Hadestown. There's a poster for a musical called Hamilton, which, you know how Hamilton. Come on.
Oh, she listens to Hamilton a lot.
Yeah.
Stephanie?
Yeah, I see them.
Hamilton came out last year?
It's not even licensed for regional productions. Is this a prank?
I don't see the problem.
But look, there's an Anastasia poster over here.
So, there are shows. This is a theater.
But these shows are being produced now on Broadway. This place has been closed for years.
Don't they keep playing shows for decades? That's what I heard.
Yes, but this is a brand new... Look, and she walks over to the Hamilton poster. Does it say, like, written by Lin-Manuel Miranda and all of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's even the date of, like, the show's release at the bottom.
But look at the date, Nettle.
Okay, yeah, that's weird. I'm glad you're here. I wouldn't have figured that out.
This just doesn't make a lot of sense. Did somebody break in and put up new posters? But why would they do that?
I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Rebel Screw.
Nettle, you know a couple things. One, you know the door you picked was locked.
Mm-hmm.
But the lock was in good condition.
Okay.
You also know that no one in Rebel's group cared about actual theater.
I mean, they might have done it as a prank if they'd come across these, but they don't care about theater. Stephanie, does anyone you know actually care for this place? Like, you know the theater people. Do they like come here and clean it up?
Stephanie, you know some things about this, mm-hmm. of course, because of your ties to the community with community theater and things like that. You know there's always kind of this low current of interest in the old Miller Theater. It's a gorgeous building, and it's got an amazing history that makes people like Stephanie and like a lot of the community theater players have dreams of playing in it. So there's always kind of a low current of, like, we should renovate that. The city should buy it and renovate it. And there's been a couple pushes over the years, but it's never gotten off the ground. It's always kind of just died in the water.
Yeah, there's a big controversy among all the theater people in town, whom I all know, between restoring this beautiful old building and the sheer cost involved to update the thing. Look at the turntable on the stage. It works with a rope and pulleys. The new theaters, they've got LED screens. They've got holograms that you can put in a fog machine. The high-tech glitz and glamour, I'd love it, but the glitz and glamour of the beautiful old world theater, something we said for that too, and that's the enduring war around town, whether it's even worth the cost just to push up this beacon of nostalgia.
Well, if you're talking about old school glitz and glamour and new school glitz and glamour, the lock that I just opened was new school.
Maybe somebody else out there has the same idea I have. Maybe these posters are part of a pitch, not a prank, a pitch. Bring the theater back to life. Maybe you can see Hamilton here when we get the regional licensing.
I mean, you theater kids are weird, so I wouldn't put it past any of you to just, like, play an empty theater. So, you know.
Matt, are there, like, light switches and things around?
Of course.
I want to try to turn on the light, see if the building has power.
Okay. So what you find is weird, because this is Port Avalon. Nothing's allowed to be normal. You find two things kind of poking around, and you're kind of loath to touch the first one, because what it is it's a big, like, almost comedically large switch. It's like it came from the set of a mad scientist lab. It's one of those big levers that closes a circuit kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And then, like, poking around, the door to, like, the ticket booth is open. And you can see in there, there's kind of the standard, like, slider switches that are just kind of normal. So which one would you like to try to do?
Is the comically big switch, just to make sure I'm clarifying, is that still in the room with my friends?
Yeah, that's in the main lobby. It's up against a wall. It's up against a wall. Like, it, there's kind of like a little, almost like there's a podium kind of next to it, And if you had to guess, it looks like something that, like, a big, like, production would be made about people flipping it.
Hey, guys. And I shine my flashlight on it. Maybe we can turn the power back on.
You said it was, like, up a ways? Did I hear that correctly?
Oh, no, it's just on the wall.
Okay. Nettle would just go over and flip it. Start going to think twice about it.
Nettle is a pretty strong girl, so she grabs it and she just pushes it up a little bit, has to strain just a tiny bit, and it locks in place. And you hear this chunk. Boom. Except what you actually hear is that noise, but there's like static fuzz. And any of y'all with a like a notice, or if you have some general ability points in computers or repair, anyone meet those criteria?
Me, all of them.
I have noticed too.
Okay, so all four of y'all can figure this out pretty quickly. There are very subtly mounted speakers up in the corners of these of this lobby, and that's where the sound of something powering up is coming from, and it sounds like the speakers are in poor repair. So this sounds like an effect, and after that noise, as it rises up, lights start to slowly dim on. Like they go from nothing, and they just slowly brighten. And you see, like, signs for the concession stand, signs for tickets, the theater, the lights are the plaques over the theater doors get lit up slowly. And there's, like, strip lighting down the carpet. There's lighting in the ceiling. And this whole place just kind of slowly goes up. And any of y'all with notice also can tell there's standard, like, fluorescent and incandescent bulbs kind of recessed up into the ceiling that are not coming on. And you can kind of figure that maybe that's like for after hours when it's not like opening night or on a, you know, on a curtain call kind of deal.
Cece is going to turn off the flashlight, but not put it away.
Okay.
There might be something in there too. And she kind of gestures over to the ticket box. It's very clear that Cece is trying her best not to outwardly appear scared, but she is definitely nervous.
All right. What are the rest of y'all wanting to look at? Y'all can ask me questions about this room, what's in it, what's around. Tell me some skills you want to try to use.
Is there anything in this room that would require some, like, clambering to get to?
Ooh. Yes, there is. There's a couple things. Over both of the doors into the main theater, there are two sets of double doors that lead into the main theater. There are these panels that are kind of suspended out. They're ringed with these light bulbs that had come on, like Edison bulbs that had come on when you threw the big switch. But it's all shadowy up over top of it. So it extends out. It's like a half circle shape. It extends out over the doorway maybe 4-5 feet out. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of designed to look like something fancy art deco-y.
Okay.
It's something that you could climb up if you wanted to see if there's anything on top of these.
Yeah. Nettle will dig into her pockets again and get out these like things that look like weird DIY climbing gloves. They're like,
love it.
They're like if you get like gardening gloves, but then they're secured with like duct tape at the wrists to make sure they stay on, and they have like these hooks sewn into the palms to make sure that you stay attached. And she put them on and just start climbing.
That's very good. So you get up top of this area, and you're kind of poking around. The first one that you go to doesn't have anything much on it. A lot of dust. Some old popcorn and candy wrappers that somehow got thrown up here.
I know how those got there.
Oh, probably some was rebels group. Some was just like punk kids when this was a theater. you get over to the other one, and up here, there's a couple things. One, there is a graffiti tag up on the wall here. It's not very big. It's maybe a foot and a half. Really, it's not even what you would call, like, high-quality graffiti art. It's like someone had discovered that they were kind of capable with a spray can, but hadn't really put time into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Rebel Rules with a Z at the end of rules.
Good. Very good.
Under that, there's some cigarette butts, like a beer can, the remains of some drug paraphernalia, all that stuff that kind of goes with kind of the bad element of kids hanging out in a building they're not supposed to be in. But the second thing that you notice, this particular little platform, there's a vent above it. And the vent isn't all the way secure.
Okay. Hey, there's like a way through over here. I don't know how well dogs can climb, but maybe the dog escape through here.
Dogs? What?
Oh, a dog went missing. Oh, it was awful.
Stephanie, yes, you told me about this dog.
Yeah, it was Ron's aunt's dog. That's practically a family dog to me. Oh, Ron has been my scene partner since we were 6 years old and we were both in the Music Man together. Theater
what was
runs
the dog's
in his blood.
Name? Rootsy?
Bootsy.
Bootsy.
Layla knows Ron because Ron has an unrequited crush on Layla and has for years.
Oh, of course
he
does.
Fucking gross and awful. So the noise of disgust that I was making earlier is basically extended through that entire story that Stephanie was telling.
You'll have the vent. You have signs of rebel. What else? What are the other two of y'all, Stephanie and Layla? What are y'all doing in this lobby?
Yeah, are there any other doors that look like they might be either VIP or like management or lead to those?
Ooh. Okay, you said you had notice of two.
I do.
Does Layla have any points in fashion?
I have 5.
I figured you might. I kind of thought that might happen. I'm going to kind of do a bit of extrapolation on this. And I'm going to say that fashion also applies to like high class, like upper class kind of knowledge, just kind of in general. That seems like a fair little thing to do. Layla notices that besides the two main entrances that are lit up, that, Nettle is on top of one of them, there's two other doors. They're kind of set back a little ways, and, like, in front of one of them is still a velvet rope. The other one does not have a velvet rope anymore. And Layla immediately, like, it just clicks. She's like, oh, that's the way up to the box seats. Because, of course, Layla's family would only use a box seat.
Hell yeah. So Layla just, like, walks up to him, walks up to the door with the velvet rope, looks back at the other people who aren't, the other members of the group who aren't currently covered in dust on top of the things. He goes, can one of you get this for me? Just gesturing at the velvet rope.
I mean, it's just a velvet rope. It should just have a hook on it.
I can't find it. Come on.
Cece just narrows her eyes. Maybe you should try looking harder.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
Layla narrows her eyes back.
You can just jump it. It's not that high.
Nettle's right, you know.
Stephanie is tired of this. She would be proud to touch old Miller Theater dust. She can go over there and unhook the velvet rope just to touch the velvet.
As she's walking over there, Cece, like, reaches out a hand to stop her, thinks better of it, and just...
It lifts off. It's got an ornate brass fixtures, and the velvet is, you know, dusty, but still in fairly nice nick. It's good. It's a good thing.
Cece walks up and joins them, and she points at the rope. See, that's called a hook.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
You never do. That's why... Never mind. And she smiles a little secret smile and walks past Layla into the theater.
Ooh, which door are you going into the theater? Like, you're going up to the boxes or are you going in the main doors?
I'm going through wherever we just, like... The doorway we just opened up by moving the velvet rope.
You're going through the door up to the boxes?
Yes, that is okay. Correct. Mm-hmm. And I am doing my damnedest to not seem afraid.
All right. The lights are off in this area.
I click on my flashlight.
All right. Who is going with Cece?
I'm going up there.
I'll cast, like, a quick look up to Nettle. And then
Nettle
follow.
Nettle shrugs.
Okay. Is Nettle going to follow or is Nettle stay going to
Nettle's
going to
try and enter the vent.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Yeah.
Splitting the party.
I'm so excited by this. Okay. Let's go with Nettle then. Let's follow her story for a minute. So Nettle, you're able to kind of get some fingers on the vent and you're kind of able to pull it the rest of the way open. And you see it doesn't go up very far before it kind of takes an angle. So mm-hmm. You would be able to jump and grab and clamber your way up with your athletics.
Yeah, she'll do so.
Okay.
She'll just kind of yell like, I'll go through here and not wait for a response. Just go.
Okay. It is echoey when you do that. It's echoey. And y'all, as y'all are going up the spirally stairs, you hear her voice echo through some vents at your feet, and you hear it happen a couple different times. So you just hear, I'm going. And it's coming from different vents.
Cece gulps loudly.
So Nettle, you're crawling through this vent. You're moving, and you're able to... Like, the vent takes hits a T-section, and you can go either direction that you want, left or right.
Is there anything I can tell about either of the directions?
Do you have a flashlight or anything?
Yes, I would. In one of my pockets. She has preparedness 6, so I think she has a lot of stuff.
You absolutely do. So you're able to pull out a flashlight and shine it down, and you can tell that on the left side, the vent goes for a little ways and then takes another turn. And on the right side, it goes a longer way, and you can see some output vents, and then it takes a turn.
Are there any signs of Rebel having come through here?
What's your notice?
2.
Okay. So what you've got is you can see that there's dust on the in here, because these vents haven't been turned on in a while. There's dust, but there's like... tracks through the dust. You're not sure if it's Nettle or not, or Rebel or not. It's maybe about Rebel's size. Like, someone of Rebel's size would probably make these marks, but you're not sure. Like, it's just like streaks in the dust that looks like where someone was crawling along, just like you are. More of them go to the left than to the right, but you think if you went right, you could look out into the main theater.
I'll go right first.
Okay. You go to the right, and you get up to the first vent, and you look out through it. The theater is completely pitch black, except there are 2 lights on stage. And there, I don't actually know if this is a thing that they do in theaters. I assume you could do it. It wouldn't be hard from a lighting
Are you talking about the ghost light?
No. I'm talking about a light that's used to backlight someone.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
so you can't really make out their face. You can just tell there's a shape. It's very dim, but it's on. And there's someone standing on stage. Hey everybody, Matt, your host and GM, just cutting in here the mid-episode break to just give a little bit of news. Again, thank y'all so much for being patient with us, having to do a quick filler episode this week. We're going to be back on normal grayscale starting next week, and it's going to run next Wednesday, the following Saturday, and then the following Wednesday to get our episode for this month concluded. So that'll be the 18th, 21st, and the 25th. And then on the 28th, so that'll be the last Saturday of the month, we're going to have a special blind box episode. It's going to be a one-shot of cast member Riley Hopkins' game, Interstitial, which is on Kickstarter right now. It launched yesterday from the time this episode airs, and it's going like gangbusters over there. It's an amazing game. I've gotten to play in it. It is so much fun. If you like Kingdom Hearts and you like Powered by the Apocalypse games, give this game a try. So, go check that out. It's a ton of fun. And, you know, y'all heard Riley on here. He's great. Go support his project over there on Kickstarter. In August, we'll be back to our normal schedule. And we'll see y'all then. Thank y'all again so much for being cool with us, having to do a filler episode this week. Bye.
I get out my phone and I text CC.
Okay, what are you texting to CC?
There's someone on the stage.
That's a perfect opportunity to switch back over to the other group. CC, y'all have been climbing this spiral stair for a little bit, and then your phone buzzes.
I pull it out and see that it's Nettle, and my brow kind of furrows a little bit, and I open the text, and when I read it, I go visibly pale.
How do your friends react to this?
You were leading the way up, right?
Yeah, and I just stopped in the middle of the stair.
Stephanie is immediately concerned, and she peers over your shoulder, and she sees there's someone on the stage, and I think it ignites something in her, like, if anyone's gonna be there, it's me. And she just keeps going past you. She keeps going up the staircase to the box where she can look out at the stage. Like, she's not scared. She's just mad.
Layla, we're not alone. And she holds out her phone for Layla to read.
Obviously, like, looking at it. That's fine. Hey, check out this staircase.
I'm worried about Nettle. If you want to go up to the box, that's fine, but I want to go see if I can find her.
Yep, that. Sure, you go ahead, do that.
And so she not pushes past you, like any kind of the feigned antagonism that she was giving you downstairs has evaporated. Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of like gingerly walking around you and headed back downstairs. But what she didn't tell you is that she is going into the main theater because she is super curious about what's happening.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get back to CC here in just 1 minute. Because guess what? Stephanie and Layla, the light is going away. Because CC is going away. Stephanie, this hits you first because you're higher up the chain or the stairs. You were nearly to the door and it got darker and darker and darker. And you think you still know right where it is, and so you can feel around for the handles and everything. But it is pitch black at the top of those stairs.
I fumble around and I get my phone out of my purse. And That should give me enough light to at least see and get the little door open to the box seats.
Very good. Layla, how about you?
As soon as it gets getting slightly darker, like, Layla has her phone out, and is basically just, like, stuck on the stairway, like, looking between where the two people went, and basically trying to decide which is the least worst thing. So just runs up to the box where Stephanie is.
All right, so y'all two are in the hallway that kind of serves as the corridor leading to all of these boxes. The box seats don't have doors on them. They have curtains. Most of those curtains are closed. One thing y'all notice as y'all are going along is another tag, another graffiti tag. This one's bigger. If Nettle was there, she would tell you that this is also probably a better example of tagging. Like, someone's practiced more. It says, Rebel Rules. Again, Rebel is now spelled with one B. And Rules is spelled correctly. And this is almost, it's not artistic, but it's almost what you would call, it's what Layla might look at and go, that's very nice penmanship. How did they do that with a spray can?
Layla, who is at this point, like, basically, like, clutching to Stephanie's shoulders, like, whispers over to her, like, do we know of any English teachers who have died?
No.
Well, any teacher can have good penmanship. Mrs. Beardsley had to take calligraphy in college as part of her really, really immersive Shakespeare camp. She told me once, I'm going to go and do the same camp when I'm in college.
I'm starting to regret my decision.
So as y'all are walking along past the improved graffiti tag, y'all see the last box, the curtains, are open.
I'm going on in there. I am way more excited to see new parts of the theater than I am actually scared.
So you go plowing in, and the first thing that you hit is you kick some beer bottles. And the clink of glass hitting each other just rings in this theater. The second thing that you notice is the figure on stage, backlit, so you can't really tell what the features are. Its head snaps up and to the left in your direction. And we're going to switch over to Cece. So Cece, you're going to be able to get back down to the lobby and go into the main doors of the theater, like you talked about. About the same time that they get to the graffiti spray. So you're going to get into the theater a little bit before they do.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I open the doors and the light of my flashlight is focused on the ground.
Okay.
But when I look up and see the bright light that's shining down, I imagine that it's a little bit blinding. Because it's very, very bright in this very, very dim place.
The light itself is actually very dim itself. It's okay. Just enough that you can tell that there's a figure on stage.
So in the great tradition of horror movies, I move my flashlight up slowly to the stage and at the figure's feet and then slowly move it up the body.
So your light tracks down the floor, down this main aisle of the theater. It sweeps over seats, some of which have like painter's tarps on them, some of which are just gone for some reason. You're tracking over, you hit the stage, and you can see that the wood is still nice. Some of it's like spray painted, but the wood paneling's still pretty nice. You track up, And the first thing you see is combat boots. Old, worn-out combat boots. No laces in them. You track up. And whoever this is wearing black skinny jeans that are kind of tattered. There's some of those artful holes in them that jack the price of a pair of jeans up by a couple $100. Except these don't look like they were designer holes. This looks like they were like bored teenager with a pair of scissors holes. And you track up and it gets to like an old bomber jacket with some patches and some like Sharpie and paint personal artwork done on it. And you keep tracking up. And when you get to the head, you can't make out any features. There is what you can just kind of tell in your as your light's panning up. There is like a black hood pulled up, and it looks like there's like a black shimmering fabric pulled down over the face. How does Cece react to that?
Hello?
As you say hello, the figure nods its head, and then you hear the sound of glass from up in the box.
I instinctively kind of crouch and cover my head.
As you do that, the light kind of pulls up to the box a little bit. And as you're going, you kind of see that it's just Stephanie and Layla. And you also notice the figure's head snap up and look at it. And the lights go out on stage.
At that, she lets out a little scream.
Everyone has notice of some degree, right? All four of y'all?
No, I didn't take any.
I had a question, actually.
Yes.
That was Rebel, right?
I don't know.
The description sounded kind of rebel-y.
The fashion, because here's the thing. Nettle was still there. Nettle was still looking out the vent. And she saw the light come in. She heard Cece talk. And she saw the light hit. And she was like, that looks like something Rebel would wear. That looks like her jacket. And then it got to the face and it had that hood and it had that fabric on it. You're like, well, that's weird. Mm-hmm. So everyone that has notice,
yes,
I think yes, with the exception of Cece, because she's very freaked out right now.
Just kidding.
So I guess Layla and Nettle then, y'all both notice just like in the last seconds of the lights going out and with kind of the little bit of glow from Cece's flashlight, y'all notice this figure drop through a trap door on stage. What is Nettle going to do?
I wonder if she knows a way to get under the stage.
You know what? Even if she doesn't, and in fact, I don't know that Nettle knows for sure. It's probably that, like, Rebel's group of friends, like, yeah, listen, they're breaking and entering, they're drinking underage, drugs, smoking, all that stuff. They also probably weren't, like, digging deep into the bowels of this place. They found a comfortable place to hang out and get away from adults for a bit, so why'd they need anything else?
Yeah.
Stephanie, though, would probably know how to get down underneath the stage.
Oh, yeah.
That's a point. I think Nettle is going to... I think her main instincts are if this vent doesn't lead down or to, like, the back, then the other one must. So she's going to go back to the T-split and head in the other direction.
Okay.
And kind of speedily...
So all three of y'all can hear this dunk, 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 dunk from the vents. Y'all could probably pretty quickly put together that's Nettle. Nettle's going through and you look left and yeah, the vent goes straight down. It does kind of slope down and at the very, your light pans down. You get the feeling that it's sloping down to the stage and down there, you're probably going to be able to find a bigger exit, is what you kind of guess. And so you go crawling down that way, and eventually you do get down to the stage, kind of backstage area. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, there's a big kind of industrial vent, like a big industrial blower to keep the place cool back there. And you're able to just kind of kick the grill off and drop yourself down onto stage.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay, are you going to try to be subtle about it at all?
No.
Okay, all three of y'all hear the unmistakable sound of metal clanging onto the floor and then a huh as Nettle jumps out of the vent.
And just, like, pans her flashlight around.
And so y'all see a flashlight moving around on stage. Let's go up to the people in the box. What are y'all doing?
Hey, how do we follow a nerd who knows where everything is in the, you know, the stage thing?
Well, the trap door, it should lead down below the stage, of course. And if we go down into the orchestra pit, normally there is a small door connecting those two. Or we could sneak backstage. There's never a single entrance into the secret underground trap door area. Maybe it's storage space. Think of all the mannequins that could be down there. All the old dresses.
I checked out when we started saying more words.
Don't worry. I know how to get down there. Turn your phone on, get your flashlight on. Let's go see what we can find.
Cool.
All right, so where are you two going? Stephanie, what route are you taking to get there?
I think I'm going to go down into the main theater and try to get there through... you know what? I want to look on the stage first. I want to look on the stage first and see if there is any way to get down through the trapdoor that same way.
Okay. So we're going to take this opportunity then to reunite the party. So let's move this investigation up to the stage itself. This will include some backstage areas, the orchestra pit. These are all things y'all can start investigating. So let's check in with Cece first, who I think may be the one most frightened by what's been going on. How you doing, Cece?
Not great. She's been hearing all these noises. She's already kind of gotten herself all in a tizzy. And even though she's the first to say, oh, ghosts aren't real, that comes from a place of secretly believing and being afraid.
Ghosts aren't real. Maybe they are.
More or less. But once she sees her friends and Layla on the stage, she starts walking that way. And if any of them look at her closely, they'll see that her eyes are red and there are still a few stray tears on her cheek. She was crying in the aisle, but seeing her friends gave her strength. And so she walked up to them. Did you see that?
Yeah. I think it was Rebel. It might have been Rebel. Why would
she
still
breathes
be
a sigh of relief. Yeah, just
I mean,
Rebel.
It's been a couple years.
Did Rebel look the same? Like, do you think that was a person, not a ghost?
Why would it be a ghost?
Yeah, wait, you know, ghosts aren't real.
Why? That's... Okay, why would that... Okay, that's... Why? Okay, that's the question. Okay, cool.
I just want to see what kind of stories we are going to be telling in the future about this theater. A tale of disappearance, of running away, or a tale of death and rebirth and reaching out from beyond the veil to reunite with an old friend.
I'm just saying, ghosts are cool and all, but humans get up to enough weird shit without ghosts being around.
Nettle!
What?
Language.
Oh. Yes, sorry.
And she looks properly scandalized.
Who has something they want to investigate? Who they specifically want to investigate?
I want to test out the trap door. I want to see if it is something that can be triggered by the person standing on the trap door, or if this is something that Rebel must have had an accomplice, somebody else that must have hit the switch for the trap door elsewhere off stage.
I think with your background in theater is going to play into this. Let's see. what do you have in the way of repair?
I have a 2.
Okay, fantastic. So you're down, you've identified where the trap door is. You're kind of pushing and feeling it, and you're like, you know, in some theaters, because it got to the point, you know, like, not the timing wasn't always correct between, like, when someone under the stage would get a cue versus what was happening on top of stage. If people were out of sync, you know, just having someone below stage could get really dangerous if all of a sudden a hole opened up in stage where it didn't need to be. And some theaters had started rigging up their trap doors with like a small little remote that the actor or actress could just kind of palm. And like almost like a garage door opener, you push a button like when you're in position and the trap door would just drop and it would then automatically like reset itself. And you're just like, you're pushing your feeling some resistance and you're like, yeah, this might be one of those.
Oh.
Did you find something?
Well, it looks like Rebel is alone. They had many pockets in which they could be holding the remote control for this trap door. It doesn't need a separate person. Whoever's standing on it can hit the remote and drop themselves on down.
See? Not a ghost. Never heard of a ghost using technology. Can you imagine a ghost playing computer games?
You're right, Nettle. That is kind of silly.
Who else has something they want to investigate?
There's usually, like... You mentioned the catwalks.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get up there?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. There's a ladder. It's just backstage.
Okay.
Up against the wall, you can climb up.
I'll just make Nettle do all the clambering that's necessary in this entire thing.
Sounds good, yeah. So, what does Nettle remember about how Rebel dealt with heights?
Rebel was afraid of heights. I think that's actually why they picked the box as kind of like this really, really teenage, I'm not scared of this thing, but like still picking the one that has a railing and you can stand near the entrance and everything.
Gotcha. Okay. So you clamber up and there's something up here. It's at the other end of the catwalk. You're able to cross it, and just like Stephanie described, like this catwalk is creaky. Every step, it sways a little bit, and the people on stage can hear this too. There's just this like noise with every single step. A theater manager would lose their mind over this catwalk. And as kind of befits a catwalk in that condition, there's no lights, there's no cables, there's no sandbags, there is nothing on this catwalk because most likely this catwalk was a curse on the house of this theater. But at the far end, there's a notebook. And Nettle recognizes this notebook. This is Rebel's notebook. And there is a layer of dust on top of it that is undisturbed.
I will take out my phone and snap send Cece a picture of it.
Okay.
With like, found this, just found this, and then look through it.
So what you see inside, tell me what the first like half of this notebook has in it. This is before Rebel disappeared. Tell me what's kind of in this. I'm picturing like maybe some like bad sketches, stuff like that. But what's in this?
Okay, so there's a couple pages, and I think this is mostly in the margins of like trying to find a catchphrase. Like they eventually end up with Rebel rules okay, but they go through a bunch of other stuff. Like maybe it's always alliterative. It always starts with an R, but it's sometimes it's like Rebel Rage and things like that.
It's adorable.
There's a couple pages where it seems like there was an attempt of doing math homework. And I think later there's like maybe some bad poetry.
Oh, of course there is.
Of course.
So there are a couple names drawn in kind of whatever Rebel's version of like a name and a heart would be. There's a couple different names and most of them are scratched out. What's the last name in there? Not really scratched out necessarily. It can be if you'd like it to be. But what's the last name?
The last name, are these just names of people?
Like crushes or relationships, ooh, romantic interests.
Okay, the last name is Soraya.
Okay. Is that one scratched out?
Yes.
Okay. After that, though, it gets a bit weird. You see one page. There's no decoration on it. There's no teen angst on it. There's no notes in the margins. All it says is, "She's chasing me."
It just says, "She's chasing me."
That's what it says in, like, it's in Rebel's handwriting. "She's chasing me. I'm hiding this up here. She knows I'm afraid of heights. Maybe she won't look."
Huh. I think Nettle will text that entire bit that you just said in scare quotes, hoping that Cece will understand that that means it's a quote, but not really, like, thinking about it too much, okay, and send it to Cece.
Okay, let's cut down to Cece real fast. Hey, Cece.
Uh-huh.
Did you understand that she was quoting something?
I think so.
Okay. You don't suddenly believe that your best that one of your friends is being pursued through the rafters?
Yes, because I think I would hear that.
Almost certainly, yes.
So I kind of look at my phone and I look at the others. "She was chasing me."
And what are y'all doing?
Nettle found a weird message in the catwalk. "She's chasing me."
Hold on one quick sec. If we are on stage and Nettle is on the catwalk, Nettle is just like 30 feet above us. Can I ask Nettle to throw the notebook down at me?
Yeah.
Nettle!
Yeah?
Throw that down to me. I'll catch it.
Okay. I'll just, like, chuck it.
Okay. Stephanie, where are you standing?
I am standing next to the trapdoor. I know better than to stand directly on one of those.
You're gonna miss the notebook unless you take a couple steps forward.
I'm gonna do it.
Nope. You take a couple steps forward, you catch the notebook perfectly, and you drop through the trap door. That stays open. Light pours out of the trap door from beneath the stage, and Stephanie lands safely on some airbags. The lights are pouring out and illuminating some of the below stage area for you. But as you hit the airbag, a music cues up. Probably the scariest possible music in this situation for a theater nerd. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera.
Cassie screams.
As soon as she drops, Cece just screams and is basically thinking she's dead.
Like, Layla was like, okay, everything's fine. Like, all she did was go down the trapdoor until, like, Cece screams. And then sort of, like, she's scared for no good reason. But she's just, like, kind of between looking to make sure, like, nothing's happened to Cece, it's just, like, calling, like, walking over to the trapdoor and just, like, looking down.
Stephanie is down the trapdoor. Cece is recovering from her terror, which in turn terrified Layla. How
can I add in there that when, like, Layla freaks out, Cece, without really thinking, runs over and just, like, takes her hand and tries to comfort her while being scared herself?
Oh.
You take a hand and it is shaking.
Y'all are
adorable. We're together. We're together. It's okay. We'll be okay.
It's fine. She's just down there. I, like, actually look over the trapdoor.
I was about to say, we peek over it.
Mm-hmm.
Nettle will probably, like, run back across the catwalk and do like that thing down the ladder where you, like, hold the sides and slide to do it really fast.
Nice.
So, yeah, what is Nettle? Nettle is getting down there real quick.
Yeah, Nettle's running up.
Okay. The three of you are on top of the stage, and Stephanie is down below stage. Are y'all joining her?
When we look down, do we see her just, like, smiling up at us? Like, what do we see when we look down?
Well, Stephanie.
Oh, I'm happy to be down there. Like, going down a trapdoor is a legit dream of mine, and like I said earlier, I'm scared, but mostly I'm just thrilled.
Very good. So she looks shaken, but not stirred. I'm sorry. That was a cheap joke. I apologize.
Cheap pop, Matt.
You know, listen, you take the heat you can get. wrestling jokes. Whee. Happens anytime Joe and I are on a podcast together.
Stephanie, what do you see down there?
I can imagine what I might see down there, but Matt?
So, down here, it's surprisingly empty. There are lights shining up out of the trap door. I don't know what an actual stage would, like an actual theater would use, but I imagine some sort of light on posts angled to shine up and out. That makes most sense to the ancient lighting tech experience that I had a long time ago. You're on, like I said, like an airbag, kind of. You've still got the notebook in your arms. And you see the underneath of the stage. And it kind of stretches out a ways in front of you. And, like, you can see a couple crates in corners. But the area seems mostly cleaned out. Because right in the middle, there are two. They're kind of like ambulance gurneys. But they're covered in, like, a opaque plastic dome, each one of them is. So you can't tell if what's happening with those.
Well, down here we've got these weird pod-looking things. It's like a gurney, like you've seen. Your mom's a nurse, you know what a gurney is. It's one of those, but it's got a dome over it like it's a casserole dish.
And under her breath, where Stephanie can't hear, but Layla surely can... Or a casket.
Actually, I want to...
You tried opening him?
I actually want to go back to what Cece just said. She says like a casket, but she thinks about it for a second. And she actually thinks... Or a quarantine.
Stephanie, don't touch them. Please, Steph, don't touch them.
Okay. Do you guys want to come... down here, like, I can scooch off this giant airbag. It's kind of fun. It's kind of like a big waterbed, but if you guys want to come down here, like, I'll make sure you land safely.
Sure. I'll jump down.
All right. Nettle's going to jump down once Stephanie clears, and with your athletics, it's not even a problem. It's pretty fun.
Still holding Cece's hand, I'm going to, like, kind of start leading her over to, like, so she can get down. And basically assist her, because I'm pretty sure her athletics is not great.
No, it's a one. It's not great. And so with Layla's help, I do kind of drop down under the stage.
All right. And Layla?
Yeah, I'm just going to jump down.
All right.
Athletics for BT dubs.
Very good. You all make it down, all safe and sound. Layla, as soon as you land, you hear a noise and you look up and you see the trapdoor reset itself. And the lights that had been pointing out up through the trapdoor go off, kind of plunging the room into darkness for a minute before a bunch of fluorescent lights blink on under here, lighting the whole place up. And there's a sound, like a... And you hear this little yapping bark, and Stephanie, this very shaggy dog that you recognize as a horribly ungroomed Bootsy, just like hip checks you right into the shin.
Bootsy! Oh! Oh, you live still! You persist! I'm so happy to see this dog I've only heard stories about, and I scoop Bootsy up in my arms. I care not for if it is dirty or not. I am just very excited to see a living dog.
Oh, it is a four-legged dust mop right now.
I don't care.
And it is very, very happy. It's way too long tail for what it is wagging everywhere, just throwing dust off. And it is licking your face and yapping. And from the far side of the room, kind of behind some boxes, you hear a voice go, "Lord, you theater children are just dramatic in everything."
Cece turns and has her light, like her flashlight in her hand, like a club.
Nettle yes. turns and has a knife out.
Oh, gosh. Wow. So a figure steps around the boxes, dressed in those same clothes that y'all all saw before, except the hood's down, and there is no more fabric over her face. And Nettle, it's kind of rebel, but kind of not.
Rebelish? Who are you?
Oh, I'm, You're Nettle, aren't you?
Yes.
She takes a step forward, and it's not how Rebel walked. Not quite how Rebel walked. Like, Rebel kind of had that kind of slouched, shoulders hunched forward, kind of slightly shuffly kind of walk. Like, long strides, shuffly a little bit, kind of head down, shoulders hunched. It's not that. It's a smoother glide walk. Head held up, back straight. And this person just goes, Rebel remembered you. She liked you. Thought you had a lot of potential. Thought you were her little sister.
My moms didn't like him.
Well, there's no accounting for taste for some people. One of my... And she, like, her eyebrow twitches. One of my oldest friends doesn't think that much of me at all.
Whoever you are, this isn't funny.
And who are you, little peach?
Her hands kind of tighten around the flashlight. That's none of your business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll still do you the courtesy. And she does a full, like, almost courtly bow and comes up and says, "I am the Lady Morgana Le Fay."
Cece laughs in her face.
That's a funny name.
And just like shattering any sort of tension in the room with just borderline hysterical laughter.
Good. Morgana just comes up from her bow and is just grinning in. And I don't like to use this cliche, but this is literally the only word that can describe it. A Cheshire grin. And just says, oh, a fan.
Fairy tales and myths.
Oh, dear. Fairy tales aren't real. But I am. And she snaps her fingers, and there are green fires in her hands.
A second knife materializes in Nethra's other hand.
Cece screams and drops her flashlight and just backs up. But she backs up so quickly, she winds up just sitting hard on the, like, air mattressy thing.
How are Layla and Stephanie responding to all of this?
Stephanie has stepped protectively in front of Cece, and I want to ask how Bootsy is reacting to all of this. Is Bootsy frightened? Is Bootsy nonplussed? Like, they've seen this before?
Bootsy's chill. Bootsy is still just licking your face, in your arms, just wagging her tail.
Okay. Bootsy is no good to us as an attack dog, then. I'm going to set Bootsy down, and my fight is for, I have some light stage combat training I'm going to try and put to use.
Okay, when you put Bootsy down, Bootsy, like, does a couple laps around your feet and then runs over to this Morgana lady and does a couple laps around her feet and then runs off into a corner and goes lays down on a coil of rope.
Well, I can't count on you then. Fine. I got my two fists, arsenic, and old lace.
Oh my god. Kay? And what are you going to do with these cliches?
Nettle is going to dig into another pocket and she digs out another knife and she hands it to Stephanie and says, here, have Excalibur.
Oh my. Oh. Oh, really? Morgana just looks up and just goes, do not blaspheme the sword.
You're not real. You can't be real. None of this is real.
Oh, you're absolutely right, my dear. None of this. And her fingers begin to make patterns in the air with the fire. Not one lick of this. And she claps her hands together, and there's a flare of green light is real. And all of your visions go white. You blink your eyes a little bit. You blink and blink and blink and blink. And when it comes to, there's someone standing at the other end of the, underneath the stage area, shining a flashlight. And there's like a ringing that you didn't really hear in your ears that kind of slowly fades away. And you hear someone just go, said, what you kids doing down here?
Do I recognize the voice?
Oh, it's a cop. It's a local cop.
Cece tries to say the word help, but it just comes out like a croak.
Nettle makes her knives disappear, as in, like, really practiced, as if this is not the first time this has happened.
All three of them?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me what this officer's name is, because I think this is someone that you've met with who Nettle kind of likes. Like, he's a good cop.
Hmm. Okay. I think he's Mr. Check's husband.
Okay, I dig it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And it's also Mr. Check.
Okay. Officer Check.
Officer Mr. Check. So you Officer have been in this guy's house before, right?
Yes, I've lived in this guy's house.
He has been her dad before.
Yeah. he's been your dad for 1 month out of the past 12 years.
Okay, every year. So we're gonna take it back just a little bit. Like, you managed to make the knives go away when you recognize the voice. and the light kind of pans over and stops on you, and the light just pulls down, and you hear him like put his face in his hands, and he just goes, "Nettle, honey,
Dad,
what did we tell you about playing in the theater?
To do it responsibly?"
He pauses and just like you can tell he's got like his hand up to his mouth, and he's just like, "Did you lock the front door after you?" You can declare either way right now.
No.
Okay, we're gonna go do that. Here in a minute. Are you four okay?
I don't think you should leave us alone right now.
Why?
She had fire in her hands.
Because of that.
Her eyes were terrible and angry.
The officer's eyes narrow and he walks over and he squats down next to Cece and he looks at you and says, young lady.
She hated us.
Young lady.
And she just buries her face in the officer's chest and cries.
And he just like is taken aback and then just in a practiced dad move just like comforts you and pats your head and, okay, it's all right. We're going to get you out of here. Everything's fine. He looks up at Nettle and just kind of makes some significant eye contact towards the other two and then jerks his head back the way he came.
Nettle will, like, gather a hand in each of her hands and just tug everyone along.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ah, at least we didn't... Well, we're going to have to lie to him eventually.
Stephanie, Bootsy is in your hands. Still looking none the worse for wear.
Okay, this is Bootsy as I've just seen Bootsy. Big old dust mop.
Yep.
Okay.
All three of you notice there are no more gurneys down here.
I'm going to look at my phone real quick. Have we experienced any missing time?
It's weird. It was maybe 11:30. Just before you dropped through the hatch. It's 12:45 now.
Is Rebel's notebook still here?
It is. When Stephanie went to pick up Bootsy, she did kind of drop the notebook, and it's still there by her feet. And you can pick that up if you'd like to.
I will, and I'll look through the pages where it said that she was following me.
It's gone. And on the page behind where it would have been, there's a drawing. It is a beautiful drawing. It's kind of abstract, but what you see is a very detailed drawing of Rebel in the middle of the page. And kind of below her on either side, there are these two other people that if you showed this to Stephanie, she might be able to identify that this is Micah Reed and Elric Frost. And they both seem to be offering up something to Rebel. And over her, at the top of the page, is this almost like it's another vaguely human figure. It's got this long, long kind of woven cloak. And it's like it's settling down over Rebel. And you have no idea what this is, but it's gorgeous.
Didn't know they were such an artist. I mean, aside from the shitty graffiti. I'll pocket the notebook.
Okay.
And I'll lead the rest out.
All right.
So, okay. Once we're kind of like walking out, all we were doing was looking for a dog, right? Is that it? And then Cece freaked out?
Yeah. We'll say we were looking for a dog. And we just wanted to see an old legend.
Blame it on me if you need to.
It's fine.
We won't need to.
Dad won't punish me too badly.
All right. And that's where we're going to call it for you four. But what the camera does is the camera slowly pulls back. And as it does, we kind of go into a little bit of a time lapse. And then we see Nettle and Officer Check call or get the other three loaded into the car. They go up front. They relock the doors. And they drive off. And a little bit later, Officer Check's car pulls back into the theater. And we see him get out and time slows back down to normal. And he pulls out a key and he opens the front door. He climbs the same stairway y'all did. His flashlight out. And he opens the curtains to the very first box that Stephanie and Layla walked right by. And in there is the lady who looks like Rebel, but kind of not. And she looks less like Rebel than she did before. And standing next to her is a character that our audience will recognize, Milo. Who looks over at Officer Check as he walks in and says, "Did you get those young ladies taken care of?" The officer nods. Milo just sighs in relief and looks over at Not Rebel and says, "We had a deal, Morgana. You don't ruffle feathers, and I don't hinder your work for your..." And he tries to say a word, and it doesn't work. The word doesn't come out. It's not like static, like it's been erased. It's not just silence, like the word's been stolen. It's like he's aware of a word that doesn't exist and can't come out into the real world. And he just squeezes his eyes shut and says, "You know what I mean." And she just smirks at him and he says, "No. You got careless. I think," and he looks at Officer Check, who pulls a manila envelope from his back pocket and puts it in Milo's hands, "I think it's time for you to have a more professional cover story." And Milo opens this envelope and dumps the contents out. And we see in the camera a passport, driver's license, a lanyard for Mallory High.
Son of a bitch.
With the picture of a woman that you can tell is the person that this not rebel lady is becoming. With the name Morgan Lafayette. English teacher.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.